It's great to have you all here. We are enjoying the privilege of being able to gather again. And I'm sure we won't be taking these freedoms for granted for a long time. So, I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to be looking at 17 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, 17 through 25. This is going to be maybe even controversial in some of your minds. It's a difficult passage to hear. It's also challenging to present it as it is stated and then apply it to our day and age. So there's a lot going on here. I don't know if we'll get it done in a morning or if we'll have to take several days or several services to get through it. But let's at least take a good effort at it and recognize that the Word of God is our authority, not our community's ideas, not your personal feelings, and not how the community believes or see things. We allow God to tell us how we are to believe, and we allow the Word of God to establish that. So, I've entitled the message, Suffering for Righteousness' Sake, the Testing of Biblical Submission. Suffering for Right, the Test of Biblical Submission. When we submit to obedience to God and it doesn't turn out well, in fact, it may be turn out that your suffering is increased because you are being obedient, is the idea and the subject. So let's look into this. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience towards God endure grief, notice this, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God, or this is praiseworthy of God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Very key sentence there. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to guide and direct as I work through this passage and help us to be willing to submit to the authority that is identified here, that we are to submit to your authority, and that we are to submit to governing authorities, and in those governing authorities, even if they treat us unjustly, we are to still continue to do right. Give us strength, give us courage, and help us to understand this passage. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, we don't understand slavery in Canada. It is something that we would look at and declare to be repulsive. We declare that is treating another human being in a form that they should never be treated. We're a civilized country. But there are many countries in this world that still have slavery. Those Christians who are slaves to their master are still obligated to serve God in that relationship. Now, there are different kinds of slavery. There's indentured slavery where a person is going to pay off a bill. In other words, he has his little agricultural real estate piece of property, and he's trying to make it work, and he can't. And he goes into debt. And so he goes to the neighboring farm, what we would understand as a farm, and he says, you know what? Will you buy my land? And will you, I will work for you as a hired hand, until I can get out of debt, and, but you can still cultivate my land. I'm not giving over necessarily the deed, but I can. I'm going into debt here. Can I be a hired hand, work your farm, and you work my farm? We make this work somehow. And in the Jewish context, the seventh year of Jubilee, when you are an indentured slave servant, you it was tradition and the practice and the instruction of the Jewish nation to give their Jewish citizen brother freedom from indentured slavery after 7 years. So he could maybe go back to his land, start working his land again. So there's that form of slavery. There's the slavery of coming in and taking over another country. And as you take over that country, you are now the governing power, and all citizens lost their citizenship because they lost the war. And now they would be slaves to the invading army. There were those who would come in the invading army and they would take, because it's their property now, right? They defeated this country and they would take some of those people back as property. And that is slavery. So there's different types, different levels of slavery. Here it's the domesticated servant, the household slave, meaning that it wasn't the lowest and lowest bottom of slavery. It was a little bit up from that, but it was still under a master. And that master dictated the rules. And the household slave servant would be kind of like Joseph. If you go back to the scriptures and look at Joseph being sold into slavery. So these working relationships were real, and they are real today. But we get to learn from it. And I hope, indeed, we will learn from God's instruction to the examples of slavery or submission. He began, last week we looked at in the sermon, that we are to submit to the ruling governments over us. And, you know, when the government is not violating instruction of the Word of God, if the government says you must abort your child, the Bible says no, you cannot kill. That is murder. But if the Bible, if the government says you must go 60 miles an hour down the road, 100 kilometers, then you must work within the law of the land. That is what a Christian does. That's not what necessarily what unsaved people are bound to. They'll pick and choose what laws they're going to obey. Income taxes. Oh, this is income tax season. And you guys who are your own business, there is a lot of fun there. Have fun. Right? You know, this is government time. And the government's saying, I want my share of your business. And they demand it. And it doesn't seem fair. It does not seem fair. And they take a huge amount. And my family, my father was always devoted to having his taxes done right. I remember the shoebox full of receipts, for the gas bill, you know, for the bait bill, for the boat, the share of the boat, all these things. And sometimes I'd be at the dinner table helping him crunch numbers, to take him to the accountant to do whatever. There would be other fishermen that they would find loopholes upon loopholes upon loopholes and somehow manage not to pay taxes every year. And my father, out of a Christian testimony, said, I'm not doing that. Here's all the data. I'm going to take it to a legal tax man, and he's going to tell me what to do, because I'm not a tax man. I'm going to submit that. And he paid out a larger share than the other fishermen. It's just a fact. Why did he do that? Well, he told me why he did that. Because I am to honor the government that is over me. And my dad was not a strong, strong Christian in understanding the Bible, and he was rough around the edges. But he recognized that he, if God is my master, if he is truly my God, then I have to obey his instruction. And one of his instruction is to obey those in government. Verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. God says government we must obey unless it's telling you to disobey the word of God. Right? Got that down? All right. So we won't exhaust that point. But he moves on to an illustration. He says, here's another point. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. And that word fear, reverence, honor. Show honor and respect to your master. Just yesterday, Brock, Jordan, and I, we got talking about government, and I started to go negative. And I pulled my tongue back and said, no, I need to honor government. I can say I disagree, but I don't get to speak evil, disrespectful. I must practice honor and respect. In Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You can't serve both. God must be your master. And if you are stealing, then you are showing that your God is money. Theft is about money, right? Grabbing things, taking things. Then your God is money. Romans 14:4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Same word, the servant, the slave. To his own masters he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Verse 17. We are to recognize and show reverence, honor to all people at all times. In other words, Joe Biden, though I do not like his policies, I'm never to defame his person. Meaning, he's in the image of Christ. I don't get to call him things that I might be able to call my dog. He's a human. I disagree strongly with his policies. I disagree strongly with Trudeau. But I don't get to call him less than human. I must show honor, respect. We can attack problems. We can't attack a person, his character, his personhood. He is born and created in the image of God. So he starts out with that. Give reverence, respect to all people. And then submission is a call upon all God's servants. The first social class that Peter addresses here is the domestic slave, the household servant. Instruction's clear, isn't it? Slaves were to bring themselves into subjection to their masters. We might want to say, by application, we're to obey our boss. When you go to work, as a Christian, whether your boss is a woman, whether your boss is a donkey, whether your boss is, whether your boss is a man, whether he is less intelligent than you, it doesn't matter. If he is over you, you are to submit. You're to come under and voluntarily choose to follow the instruction given. Now, I worked union jobs when I was younger. And some of the instruction given was just difficult to take. You go and you clean up that part of the truck, but as soon as you step out of the truck, UPS, as soon as you step out of the truck, that's not your job description, even though it needs to be done, and it might even be an emergency, you can't touch that because that is not your job. And I was raised to, if it needs to be done, do it. Now, well, forget them, I'm just going to do it. Well, you know what? Then I create a real problem for my manager. Because he's supposed to work with the union, and then the union gives him a hard time, and then I may not have liked it, but I had to do things that went against the grain. It's not who I am, but, so what do? Well, I find another job if I can, and get out, and I did. But unreasonable bosses is not a new thing. There's going to be unreasonable people over us till God takes us home. So he says, learn to come under, bring yourself under, and show honor and respect. The slaves were given indiscriminate submission to their master. It wasn't only to the good ones. It was, if it's your master, you need to obey. Because it goes on to say the good and the bad. How many of you have had really bad bosses? Okay, some hands are coming up. And how many of you justify, because the boss is not a very nice man or woman, and because they're unreasonable, you didn't have to work hard for them? Okay, you wouldn't admit it if you did, but anyway, I understand that. It's harder when the boss is not a nice person. It's more difficult when the boss is, and I've been in this situation, my boss, one of my bosses was a drunkard. And all the guys that would go to the bar with him got all the promotions. But I got all the work. So I'd end up working and cleaning up after the guys who were coming in drunk and vomiting in the corner and laying down with a headache in the back room. But the work still got done that day. Oh, that's right, shame. And then when we came to the lunchroom, the drunks are stumbling into the lunchroom still with their hangovers. And the boss comes in and he's sharing stories with them and he's having a great time. Shane, go do that. Shane, go do that. It's humbling. It's like, ugh. What kept me going? God told me to do it. So I'm obeying God, not this man who is not very nice. The slaves were to give this obedience. They were to submit to the gentle and the kind. They were to submit to the harsh. And the word crooked here, the ones who were crooked, submit to them. Follow them. When I was in Turkey and I was teaching on a Sunday, we were having a Sunday service, and it was very interesting. The Sunday service there went this way. We started at 10. We had food ready, and one, two people would come in at 10. We would finish fellowshipping with them, and then 11:30, 12, another person would come in. 1 o'clock, another person would come in. And you're like, what is wrong with these people? Don't they understand? We didn't even start at 10, and we need to be finished at noon, and that's good. Well, I found out that many of them were immigrants from other countries, and they were slaves to their masters. And they had to ask permission to be able to leave the compound, the house, or the place they were working. They had to ask permission to leave. And they could only go during the time they were given permission to leave. So some of these people were coming Sunday to worship because they had 1 hour. And the 1 hour changed every week because the master's mind changed every week. How would you like to live under that? And so as we're ministering, what instruction do we give that guy? Or give that girl. She's under a unreasonable boss. Well, we had to give the instruction that God gives. Love them, serve them, and hope that they'll come to Jesus through your example. Well, but it's unjust. Yes, it is. See, it's North America that thinks that we have the right to be never treated unjustly. That's North America. Because we have so many freedoms and so many rights. But God himself does not ensure us that right on this earth. And God says, in fact, you will be treated unjustly. And you, as Christians, should be willing to do so. Wow. But I don't want to be treated unjustly. Who does? But you will if you're going to trust your Lord and obey His instruction. Because He tells you to obey bosses who are not fair, who are not right. They are unrighteous. They're not doing the right thing. But they're not asking you to sin against God, so you do what they tell you to do. Whether they thank you for it, whether they reward you for it in any way, shape, or form, that's not the question. If you're serving the Lord, you will serve the unjust boss. In other words, they did not have God's blessing to revolt due to unsafe working conditions and unfair labor practices. America got its independence by revolting against England. And when I'm down there, I tell them, you weren't biblical. You didn't have a biblical right to do that. Now you did it, and God blessed it, and we are receiving many blessings. And when I say God bless it, He did not bless the act. But His mercy was given, and He blessed the simple exaltation of His name and the desire to give religious freedom. He blessed that. The method He did not bless. It was a violation of the Word of God. Folks, we in North America, because of that history, fight for our rights. And that's a call, that's a fight God has never called us to. Jesus Christ did not fight for His rights. Not my will be done, but thine. Now be careful. If we are in a country that gives you rights and allows you to protest or challenge decisions, you can do that, and you should do that in a respectful way. But if you can't change your condition, you can't kill your boss. The slave here couldn't kill his master. He didn't have those rights at this time in Turkey. This is where this letter is being written to the Christians within Turkey. The instruction is given repeatedly in the New Testament. Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Ephesians 6:5. Colossians 3:22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. He didn't say obey Christian people. He didn't say obey only the good ones. It says, if you are in a master-slave relationship, you have to obey your master. Now, he gives instruction on how a master, a Christian master, should work, right? A Christian boss or master should be kind. He should be fair. He should be gentle. He should look to help his staff, those employees or those people under him. He should look to improve their life, not hurt them in any way, shape, or form. That's the way a Christian master works. But not everybody gets the choice of a Christian boss, do we? Well, some of you do. You're your own boss, so that's like, okay. God's still your boss. Make sure those you hire and treat with the kindness, gentleness, fairness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But many don't have that privilege or opportunity. So submission requires sacrifice. We have a higher calling. Look at verse 19 through 20. For this is unthankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For this is thankworthy. This is praiseworthy. If a man for conscience towards God endure grief and suffers wrongly. For what glory is it when you are buffeted of your faults and you take it patiently? In other words, what difference does it make if you're taking it patiently, going to jail because you stole $1 million? Oh, I'll take that graciously, and yeah, I deserve it, and so, yeah, you do deserve it. Duh. But when you're going to jail because you were obedient and kind to your neighbor and somebody twisted it and set you up and falsely accused you, and you're going to jail for that. And you take that and say, I'll trust my Lord and I'll praise God anyway. And I won't even attack that person. I'll pray for his soul. I hope he gets saved. Now that, God says, is praiseworthy. That is the way a Christian is to respond when wrong things are done to him. So we can start with master-slave. That's the illustration. But any time unjust things are done to us, we have to pray and say, God, help me not seek vengeance. God, help me not to want their destruction. God, help me to take this and still be kind and loving to the person who's treated me wrong. Help me, because that's what you tell me to do. And he goes on. The term thankworthy in our King James is the word for grace, charis. It's another way of saying that God's favor is upon you. If you will do this, God will favor you. If you will love the person who is being wrong, who's wronging you, if you'll be kind to that person, if you will, when you are under their authority, you'll not speak nothing but kind words to them. You'll do nothing but try to help them do well at their business. You'll do nothing but try to help them. And you'll endure the unfairness and give it to God. Jesus says, my special favor is on you. My special favor and protection is on you. How many of you want to volunteer for that cause? You're not going to. You're not going to choose to put yourself in that situation. But when you find yourself in that situation, if you're growing in Jesus, you will respond in this matter. God rewards submission when it is motivated to God's glory. He rewards your choice to come under that and obey those rules. Folks, some of you are having a hard time with your attitude towards COVID rules. Really hard time. The government is our master. And it's stupid and it doesn't make sense. Okay. We know it's unreasonable. We know all of that. It doesn't do you one ounce of good to repeat that and recite that and repeat it and recite it in your head. It's not going to change it. So what's God want you to do? To the best of your ability, without violating and disobeying God, obey those rules. I'm wearing masks, guys, when I walk in. I know it's wrong. I know it does nothing. I put that mask. Brock, you work at the school, right? You gotta wear a mask, right? Do you believe in masks? I don't either. But why? Because the government says so. Well, you're just a sheep. Yeah, I'm God's sheep. That's right, I am a sheep. But I'm not a sheep following the government. That's not where my faith and trust is. I'm a sheep following my Savior, and my Savior tells me, yeah. Doesn't say you have to like it. It doesn't even say you have to agree with it. Do it as unto God and His glory. I think we need this, folks, right now. I need this passage to bring me back in sinner. And if I need it, maybe we all need to just wrestle with it. Say, okay, what? Maybe our attitudes are wrong. He says, do this in a desire to glorify God. Submission to unjust treatment is a specific type of submission that he's speaking of here. Now, other places in the Bible, Paul says, if you can remove yourself from that situation, then you can do that. And you can have God's blessing on that. But if you cannot remove yourself from that situation, you serve God in it. Joseph could not remove himself from slavery, could he? And he served God in it. Was it fair? Was it just what happened to Joseph? Not one ounce of it. And that's to be a case study for us when we're put in situations where we're out of control and somebody's above us and has authority over us and they're abusing that position. And that can go from husband, from boss, from government, from neighbor, whoever has the upper hand of authority. What about the neighbor who keeps violating or because they have an inroad with the government, they're not respecting your property lines? And you go to the government and say, hey, he's violating the property line. He's gone over his property. He stole some of my property. And you appeal to the government, and the government, because this guy is in with the government, says, no, he's good. And you go home and say, ah, that's unfair. That's unjust. That's wrong. And you're right. It is. It is. You're absolutely right. But you know what? God said, obey the government. So I've got to let the loss of my land go after I've appealed, and even though I still think I'm right. Well, no, I don't. Yes, you do. You're right to go through the appeals process. You're right to use the legal system. When the legal system says no, you're done. You're done. You got to give it to the Lord. Why? Because God put you in Canada under these laws. So it deals with husband. It deals with the boss. It deals with all the local magistrates, governors, anybody in authority over you. And God specifically speaks about the unjust treatment they're going to give you. But here's the interesting thing. Look at verse 21. For even hereunto were you called. You were called to serve God in this way. Serve God in unjust treatment. I know some of you, as you shared your testimony with me, some of you were in mixed marriages, unsaved spouse. And that unsaved spouse did not treat you well. And that you had to wrestle through that mistreatment and all of that. And you had to be mature enough in Christ to say, Lord, help me to suffer injustice with my spouse. And I know one, that because she did that, right in our midst here, her husband got saved. And they finished out their years loving Jesus together. That's hard. But she's one of my heroes. Because she did that which was not fun. She did that which there was no apparent reward. And she did that because she loved her Savior enough to say, God, I'm going to obey you. And God reward her on this earth. That doesn't always happen that way. But in this case, it did. But the interesting thing is, I call Christians to suffer unjustly. That's what Christians do. We can't right the wrongs on this earth. We will be treated wrong. So grow up. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. And ask God to give you the strength to be godly in the midst of unjust treatment. Because it's going to happen again, and it's going to happen again, and it's going to happen again, and it's going to happen again. Unjust treatment is a part of this world. And as Christians, of all, we should understand, we're going to be treated unjust because they treated our Savior unjustly. It is a fact of Christian life that we will suffer and we will embrace it and allow it and not run from it. We are called to this. Christ is the example of submission to unjust treatment. We are called. The verb is to summon to unjust treatment from the masses. Peter declares that we are to follow Christ's example. We're to follow his example. What did Christ do when he came into this world and was treated unjustly? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going back to heaven. No, he didn't do that. I know that I will suffer this, but it will be for the furtherance of the gospel and to the glory of my Father. And my Father's my master, and he sent me to be the Savior of the world. and I'm going to be unjustly crucified. But I'm going to trust Jesus, trust my Father, that he's going to work something wonderful through the mistreatment and rejection of the world. And did he? Yeah, he brought salvation and offered it to all mankind through his Son, Jesus Christ. But there's a very, very important positive comment here in, let's see, verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So obviously his treatment is unjust. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile back. When he suffered, he did not threaten back, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Here's how we fight. We fight ourselves from stopping fighting back. That's how we should. Our biggest fight should be bring yourself in and stop trying to get your own justice. Stop trying to fight your own battles. Give that to God and simply love the people who unjustly treat you. Why? Because Christ did, and he's our example. And notice how he did it. It shows us how he did it. He said, committed himself to him that judges righteously. In other words, God sees it. God will right all wrongs. It's not your job to right the wrongs. It's your job to suffer the wrongs with a godly attitude. And serve people even though they have no appreciation for you. And even though they are bullies. Even though they're forcing their way upon you. Now, if you can remove yourself from that. The Bible says do it. Our country gives us opportunity in this world. Not all countries do this, but in this country, if it is an abusive, you know, if you've got some guy, well, let's reverse it because we always pick on the guy. I've been in situations where it's the woman. You get some woman who is literally taking the ball back to his, to her husband. And every time he comes through, he gets hit over the head with the bat and knocked to the ground. And I know you think that this is ridiculous the other way around, but it isn't. I've dealt with those situations. The person's life is threatened. The person is a Christian and the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And he has the power in this country to remove himself from that. And it's not a violation of any law. In fact, the law gives him the right to do it, to protect himself. Is that person right or wrong in doing so? No, he's right in doing so. But should never do it to the destruction, or the hope of the destruction of the person that they have removed themselves from. In other words, I'm going to seek vengeance, I'm going to seek to destroy, I'm going to seek... No, they're protecting themselves for the hope of reconciliation. Does that happen? That happens all the time in this country. Well, what if you're in a country that the government doesn't give you that right? What do you have to do in that situation? In that situation, you have to serve God in that. Well, what if that person dies? Do you know how many people die in these countries that don't give women rights? And they're Christian women? God is not failing them. God is saying, whatever state you find yourself in, try to serve those who are over you. And through your suffering, I will use your testimony to show Jesus great and beautiful and wonderful. We're not in that situation in this country. But there are Christians in countries where they are. So don't just like, oh well, this doesn't apply to me. Yeah, it does. Well, this has to be reinterpreted because that just can't be right. No, that's right. If you have a boss that's unmerciful, that is violating all your human rights, that is, We always filter it through our experience. It's like, well, Canada, that's just wrong. Well, what about the poor Christian that has absolutely no human rights in Turkey, Turkmenistan, and China? God's saying, here's how you serve in that situation. You be kind and you obey the instruction given, unless it's instruction that goes against the Word of God. God give us the strength to believe this and to obey it. I know what I'm asking is difficult. But I'm not asking it. God is. God's asking it. God's saying, you take your position and you serve. Serve who? Serve the unjust people and serve the just. And be willing to take the hits to show God that you love Him. Because when you take those hits and you take it unjustly, people will respect that more and see Jesus more there than if you fight back and overtake that authority and punish that authority in your life. By the way, how can you do that? Christ says, by giving it to the righteous judge. You can only do that if you believe God's going to make it right in His time. You can only do that if you trust God is good. And we're going to stop here. And we'll pick up and look at Christ's example in great detail next week. And don't say, well, Christ is a superhero, therefore we don't have to follow His example. He could do it because He's God. That's not what the Bible says here, is it? The Bible says you follow it because that's the example Christ gave us. And we are to follow it too. May God give us strength to do so. And may the other passages on who is boss, every Christian who is a boss is to be what? Like Christ. A husband is to be like Christ. Lay down his life. A husband is to be kind. A husband is to be forgiving. He's to be gentle. He is to be encouraging. He's to be building up the people under him. The boss who has employees is to be doing all of that to build up those employees, to help them be better people. It's very clear. But that's not reality. Not all bosses are Christians. Not all husbands are Christians. Not all husbands are godly Christians. How do we work this out? We grow in Christ to the point that we're willing to be servants for God, even when people treat us wrong. That's hard. And that can only be done by trusting Christ to fix all wrongs. Submit to His instruction. This is a test of how strong you are as a Christian, because it goes against your individual, independent self-rule. In North America, we celebrate that. May God give us strength to submit to His rule and do it His way, not ours. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. Very, very powerful passage of Scripture here. And we recognize if people are abusive in their leadership over people, that our country gives us the right and freedom to remove ourselves from those situations for protection. And we recognize that as Christian bosses, help us to be ones that would give instruction only to help people, give instruction only to love people. And sometimes love has to be confronting wrong and fixing wrong, but never done out of vengeance. But also, Lord, we know that this is not an ideal world. This is a fallen world, and we're going to have people in leadership over us that don't care about you, that are more than willing to disobey you. And they bring hardship on us because of their choices. Help us to not seek vengeance. Help us to be kind. Help us to always obey those that have a rule over us when it is not against the Scripture. Lord, we need your wisdom and strength to do so. We do love you. And we ask that you would work in the hearts of all of us. and apply it to our everyday living. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.